We're looking at Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 this afternoon. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." This is the word of God. As I look around me this afternoon, I can't see any slaves. Can you see any slaves? No. What's a slave? A slave, children, is someone who is owned by someone else and they have to work for them without getting paid. Do any of you have to work for mum and dad without getting paid? Perhaps you have to clear the table and do the dishes. Maybe you have to tidy your toys up or tidy your room, make your bed. It could be on Saturday if you're a little bit older. Maybe your older brother or sister has to mow the lawns or sweep the driveway or mop the floor. And it could be, maybe it's the case, that your parents pay you a little bit for doing those sorts of jobs. But it could just be that it's part of belonging to a family. Everyone helps, everyone does a little bit around the home, and everything runs a lot more smoothly. But even if you do jobs around the home and you don't get paid, that doesn't make you a slave. And it doesn't make you a slave because you aren't owned by your parents. They only get you on loan. You're a gift to them from God, and your parents are a gift to you from God. You may not always feel like a gift to one another, but that doesn't stop it from being true. But what about going to school? What about going to school? Are you a slave when you're at school? Your teachers make you, some people are. Your teachers make you learn stuff and you have to sit still. You have to work hard and you have to do what you're told. And you don't get paid. Do any of you get paid for coming to school? I think I should see all the teachers' hands up right now because they get paid for coming to school, and but they're definitely not slaves. But what about you if you're a child? You come to school every day, you work hard, you don't get paid. But again, you're not a slave because your teachers don't own you. You have to respect them, you have to follow their instructions, just like God says you have to respect your parents and obey them, but your teachers don't own you. You might be thinking, why am I starting off this afternoon by talking so much about slaves? Well, because Mr. Munro asked if I could speak about these verses here in Colossians chapter 3 that we read before, and they're verses that were written to some Christians who were slaves and who lived a long time ago in a place called Colossae. They had masters, they had to do what their masters said. It was a bit like having a job where you have to do everything the boss says, but you never get paid. How do you think it would have been? How do you think it would have felt to have been a slave? Not so good, maybe. Because masters weren't always kind. They didn't always treat their slaves very well. Sometimes they were cruel or unreasonable. And Paul wanted to help Christians who were slaves understand how they should live as Christian slaves. And many of the things that he writes make sense for us as well, even though we're not slaves today. Like verse 22, the verse before, for example. It's going to advance for me. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. What might a verse like that say to us? Well, it might say this. It might say this. When you're working for someone, whether it's mum or dad at home or your teacher at school, don't only work hard when they're looking at you, but all the time. Because you know what that's like, don't you? Perhaps you're at school and you're supposed to be doing some maths problems, but what you would rather do is talk to the person sitting next to you. Does that happen at Glenvale Christian School sometimes? I'm seeing some nods. Some parents are shaking their heads and some children are nodding. And when your teacher's looking at you, you do the maths problems in the book, but as soon as the teacher turns away and looks at someone else, you start talking to your friend, don't you? But when the teacher's looking, you do your maths, and that means the teacher thinks you're a good student, doesn't she or doesn't he? That's a way of not being honest, or of trying to please other people by making them think good things about you that aren't actually true. And what does Paul say to someone like this? He says, work hard and do what you're supposed to be doing all the time, not just when people are looking at you. Be sincere. Honor God in the way that you work and study. And so can you see how this is something important for us to pay attention to and listen to today, even though we're not slaves? And not just something you need to listen to, children, but your mums and dads need to listen to as well. You see, the same's true for them. They also have to do what they're supposed to be doing when they're at work and not just when the boss is looking. This is a passage not just for boys and girls, but for mums and dads. In fact, it's a passage for everyone. And what does Paul say next? This is the part Mr. Munro asked me if I could speak about this afternoon. It was this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. All of a sudden, this isn't just a small verse in the Bible talking only to slaves. This is a really big verse in the Bible that talks to everyone. Whatever you do. God isn't interested in just some of the things we do, like going to church and praying and reading our Bibles. They're good things. God's interested in them. But he's interested not just in some things, but in everything. Whatever you do. That means this part of this verse in the Bible is talking about how you play in the playground when you're in a break time, or the way you speak to your friends, or your teachers, or your parents, or playing chess on Monday mornings, or learning spelling words, or studying science, or learning to ride a bike, or how you get rid of your rubbish, or read a book. God is interested in anything and everything that we do. And so how should we approach anything and everything at school and at home and at work this year? What should our attitude be like? Paul says, work at it with all your heart. Children, have you ever seen someone who's been asked to do something and they don't really want to do it, but they know that they have to? So what they do, they mope along and their shoulders are down and their face is happy. It's not happy, is it? That's what it's like. Have you ever seen someone like that? Yeah, one of your brothers or sisters, probably not you. Is a person like that doing something with all their heart? Are they doing something with all their heart? They're not doing that at all, are they? They're grumbling, they're complaining. At least inside their heart, they're grumbling and complaining. Working at something with all your heart means doing your very best all the time. It means trying hard. And sometimes you try hard and you fail, and that's okay, because it's not only working at something with all your heart when you succeed. It means trying to do the best you can. It means doing it gladly and with a good attitude, putting your heart into it, your energy, your might, and striving to grow and produce work in whatever you're doing of a very high standard. That's what I hope you children will be able to do this year at Glenvale Christian School, or whatever other school or homeschool or distance education school that you're at. I hope it's also what your parents and grandparents will be able to do, and whatever God calls them to do, to work at with all their heart. And why do I hope that? Because Paul says we're to do this, work with all our hearts, as working for the Lord, not for men. What does Paul mean by that? He means, children, that we should do everything as if God were our boss and we're doing it for him. Maybe mum or dad gives you a job to do, or your teacher at school is teaching you something to learn. But really, ultimately, God is the one that we're serving. We're working for God in all that we do. As we learn, we're growing to understand the world that he made to be our home. We're growing to understand him. You know, when nobody else is looking, we're sometimes tempted not to do our very best. We're tempted to do less than we should. Maybe your parents ask you to do something like we ask our children to do. Sometimes we ask our children, pick up, find 25 things around the home and tidy them away. Because we have 8 children, that's 200 things. That's quite a few things. Find 25 things to pick up, but maybe nobody's looking, maybe nobody's counting your things, and so you just do 15 or 20 and hope that nobody will notice the difference. But you know what, children? God notices. As we read in Psalm 33 before, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. We're serving God in our work, not just our parents and our teachers. We want to do our very best for God and for his sake. Why do we want to do that? Because God has done so very much for us. He sent Jesus to die upon the cross for all our sins, to forgive us for all the times when we haven't worked with all our heart, or we've done the least we could rather than the best we could. God sent Jesus to save us from what we have done and to change us, to transform us into new people, into his new people. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us strive in everything we do, whatever we do, to do it well. He loves us. God's kind and fair, and because he's so good, we want to live for God in all that we do. What will happen if you live this way this year at school? Well, I expect, no promises, but I expect that if your attitude is trying to work with all your heart, then you're going to learn pretty well. I think that's going to be true. If you work at all the things you're trying to learn with all your heart, then you're going to learn. You're going to learn pretty well. And that's going to carry its own reward, of course. Learning will help you in life. It will help you achieve your best and grow up to your full potential. That's a good thing. I hope that's true of everyone who's here tonight, whether you're a boy or a girl, whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a grown-up. But there's one thing more. There's another reward. And that's the final part to what Paul says, because he carries on and he says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you're serving. Children, slaves never got an inheritance. An inheritance is the money or the things that you might get when someone dies, a member of your family dies. Slaves never, ever got inheritances. But God promises us all an inheritance, the inheritance, in fact, eternal life with him in his new world where we will serve God with all our hearts and enjoy him forever. And so God will reward your hard work when your life on this earth comes to an end. God doesn't forget. He's got something glorious waiting for you, waiting for everyone who believes in Jesus, for everyone who follows Jesus as their Lord, as their Master. Joshua said to God's people, make up your minds. Who will you serve? He said, as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. And so I'm asking you, children, this afternoon, who will you serve? Teachers, who will you serve? Parents, whom will you serve? Everyone, whom will you serve? Serve the Lord this year in 2017. Serve the Lord at school and at home. Serve the Lord in the workplace and in every place where God has placed you and called you to be. Serve him sincerely with all your heart, striving earnestly to please him. And you will receive a reward. Amen.